Welcome, everybody, to Ballin' Idols 2010, Week 2, Lawrence.com's Kaw Valley Kickball Podcast. We're joined this, we've got a room full this week of representatives from KVKL. Going around the table, joining us as always is Aaron Airbear Adams. Say hello, Aaron.
Hello.
And new this week, one Mr. Chris Golden Cardinal.
Hello.
And returning from last season, Troy, the Pomeranian Pomeroy.
Hello.
And as always, the one, the only, the inimitable, the spayed and neutered, Jason Cougar Huang.
Yes. Yay. Not on spayed, neutered. I'm a sad cougar.
Sad panda. You've made Bob Barker a very happy corpse.
Well, he's alive. I thought he's alive.
He is.
Mostly.
Okay.
It's debatable. Right. But we've got a jam-packed show since this is the first episode after the opening day of Kaw Valley Kickball 2010 season. Let's just dive right into it. Let's start with the marquee event, the game of the week. Take it away, Aaron.
It was an amazing game. It was Jazz House versus Red Lion, and it was, I think, one of the best game of the week games that I've ever watched. There was home runs and bunts, even though I heard an agreement about no bunting, and there were like amazing slides and throwouts, and it was just fantastic. Anybody who missed it was a fool.
She says, staring at Cougar.
Yeah.
No, he was reffing it. I'm staring at you. You're the one who missed it.
I missed it.
Yeah. Well, it was a competitive game between both of them. Went back and forth. I could tell that both teams had, you know, definitely first game jitters because it's a lot, you know, errors, dropped balls, missed kicks, and some base running errors. And I don't know if you'd be expected for these two veteran teams, like Red Lion, although they had new players come back, and for Jazz House. But it took them a while to get settled in, but they finally did. So, but it was a well-played game, but somehow Red Lion, they pulled it out. And I'm sure that these two gentlemen have some discussions about that game of the week.
Yes, Chris and Troy.
Well, not too much discussion. I think it was a good game between two true bar kickball teams that I think it may not have been jitters. It may have been the whiskey we were shooting and everything. But I think it was a great game. I don't think there'd be two other teams in the league that would have played that style of a game. I think there would have been a lot more fighting, a lot more bickering. You could tell that the two teams, you could tell that we got along together. I mean, it was...
Oh, actually, for full disclosure, Troy, you're on Red Lion?
No, used to be.
Okay.
He used to be on the Jazz House. Now I'm on the Jazz House again.
Yeah, okay. So you're on. Okay.
Yeah, he was. Yep.
I was the smartest player in the league. I mean, I already get discounts at one bar. Why not go to another bar and get discounts?
Yes. Yeah, that's Kaw Valley Kickball is mostly a networking opportunity for drunks. Chris, what team do you play for?
I play for the Jazz House as well. And I'd have to agree. It couldn't have been a better game of the week to start off the season. And it truly was an honor for our team to be able to play in that game of the week, I'd have to say. Took us a couple, like five. We were week five last year. I think we played in the fifth game of the week. Yeah. Red Lion did a great job. Lots of errors on both sides, and I do think it was jitters and the whiskey combined.
Yeah,
nothing worse than the whiskey jitters.
Yeah,
well, mostly that's the day after.
Well, I don't think it was whiskey for Troy. He shotguns a beer before he goes up to bat every time he bats. So for him, it was just, you know, spinning in circles with
for Troy it was just Sunday.
Yeah. Well, it was. See, I did add the jitters. I only did three of them. So
yeah.
Normally, I'm not up to mid-season form yet.
And you have a hard time getting around the bases doing it.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than rounding third with beer bloat.
Oh, my first
sloshing around in the belly.
My first kick, the person dropped it, unfortunately. I popped it right to him so I wouldn't have to run anywhere, and I made it to second, and I stood there. I was worried I was going to puke on their second baseman, but it's all for the love of the game.
Hell of a Kevin Costner movie, by the way.
But no, I think Red Lion did kind of throw it because their dugout did have whiskey, and they were giving it to me. So my team doesn't really know about that, but I kind of didn't want to share with them.
Well, Red Lion had a lot of players join their team that have been veteran players for a long time. They got Nick and Jared and
Richie.
And a couple of players that didn't play for their team last year that played a few years ago are back, like Zippy and Chris.
Right.
And so their team is huge now, and they're all veteran players.
Right. And like I said, the reason why I did not p- pick a Red Lion to win because, like, well, all these, like, well, you did. Well,
thank you. Thank you. Sorry, guys.
I picked Jazz House, guys. But the reason why I said that because, partially because, like, you know, the new players coming in, how long will it take for them to gel and basically get used to each other? I picked, you know, Jazz House because it had continuity and things like that. And it seemed like they had the lead, like, 7-2. Continuity was on their side. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know what it was. It was Red Lion as far as they're calling their way back or Jazz House getting, you know, slapping their play. I mean, you guys can answer that. It's like, what do you guys think?
There were swings in the game. I think that we were obviously evenly matched this year. They have great players. We had gotten together two times before this and didn't have everybody get together. But, I mean, we kept a lot of the same players that we had last year, but this is the first time that we've gotten together and even trying to establish certainly what the positions are going to be, where people are playing, and what type of rotation that we're going to have on our team. I mean, we're still figuring all that out as we were playing this year. But I just think that there could have been a better game still. Two evenly matched teams. Right. And
what was the final score?
13-14.
Ooh, goodness.
Yeah, yeah, there were some swings.
The whole time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were up early. They came back. Then we had a big inning.
You took the lead in the top of the ninth.
Took the lead with that three-run triple by Alex.
Was it Alex or Rob?
It was by Alex. 3-run double by Alex.
Okay.
So, because, like, you guys were down 2 runs, and there was a liner that went toward left field side that got by Nick, the commissioner. So, they got 3 runs.
I actually kind of predicted that. I told our team before the game that this is the exact team as us, and it's going to be a double-digit game, and one of us is going to win in the bottom of the ninth.
That's a good prediction.
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't say the score. I knew one team would win by one, and it was a play that Guerin slid in at home plate. Our right fielder threw it in, Fox, and it was about 3 inches from hitting him, and it would have been an extra innings for the third out.
That's true.
There were a couple surprise plays, I thought. A girl who plays for the Red Lion named Ann kicked infield home run. Mm. She belted that ball.
Yeah.
And further than most of the
boys.
Well,
she kicked it over our 4'2" left fielder captain, Chris. So.
AKA Napoleon.
She also kicked it further than most of the boys on all the other teams.
Yeah.
And from the stands, the stands erupted. Every single person in the stands was on their feet cheering, and she was just running like mad. And it was amazing.
She was running mad, running third towards home, and it's the third. I don't know what happened to play. You did you have it, Chris? When you receive the ball, you try to throw it home. Or was it Troy?
Oh no, that was me.
That was Troy.
That was me.
That was you.
Yep.
And I thought she was dead meat. I was like,
she
slipped, but I thought she'd be out by like 3 steps.
Yep. Nope. Got in the cut. Threw it high. She
slipped under it.
Yep.
Down.
It was
and
amazing.
Got past the catcher. So
it was good. There were fireworks. We had fireworks at the beginning of the game, and at the seventh inning stretch at the end of the game, the only thing that was missing was a streaker.
It is early in the season.
Yeah, but we normally have a streaker for the first game of the week.
You threw out the first pitch, didn't you?
I did throw out the first pitch.
Yeah, the ceremonial first pitch.
And it was me that threw out the first pitch.
And
I don't
know.
Of course, Curtis from Range Life in his poo costume, carrying the American flag with his right hand, kicked it.
I will say, Curtis, if you ever have an American flag again, do not let it touch the ground.
Really?
That's one thing I forgot to say to you, and I'm going to put
true.
It in front of anybody.
That's true. You kind of have to burn it afterwards. That's the rule.
I'm a diehard American, and I'm a veteran.
Yeah.
And just anybody out there, don't do it.
Don't do it. he was
never mind the
around.
Fact that he was holding it aloft while dressed as a poodle.
Pooh Bear.
Pooh Bear.
Pooh Bear.
With a denim fringe jacket.
Mm. See, I actually do swell with patriotism when I hear that.
He's humping the flag.
The Pooh Bear holding a lot.
He's been wearing that outfit for
years.
I can remember doing an All-Star game.
I remember the Pooh Bear outfit.
Well, there's an All-Star game, I think, like maybe 6-7 years ago when he first, I first really remember it because we went with 3 pitchers on the mound and he comes out with his Pooh Bear outfit and it's pretty awesome.
The other big game of the week deal we have to talk about is interference. There was a big deal.
Did you like
with
that audio effect, audience?
Yeah.
Aaron's doing some Foley work in the studio.
I had little top dancing shoes. Right. I'd use those too. Right. Interference in the game was a really big deal from the stands, from where we were watching the game on the field, from the ref's point of view. It may not have looked as bad, but from where we were standing, you know, the girl who was playing third base for one of your Jazz House at
it
one
was
point.
Jill.
Jared was running, rounding third, and she was standing on third base, even though there was no play being made anywhere near third. Mm-hmm. Jared plowed into her and stopped on third, knocked her down. Her knees were bleeding later. But she was standing on the base, and she probably shouldn't have been. So that was interference. Then later, another your shortstop, guy with big poofy hair.
It was
hair,
Rick.
Yeah, he was standing in between second and third. There was no play being made to the shortstop in between second and third.
There was a play being made to me at third base.
At third. Yeah. But not where he was standing.
No, he was going to back up the throw from first base. And he was running towards third base, and he had his back to the runner. I didn't see this. This is from what I heard from everybody else. But first off, if Rick wanted to interfere with someone, he'd just knock him over.
Okay.
but I think that he was just slower than the runner. He was trying to run up the back of the throw, and they got tripped up. And I didn't see that one, but I don't think that it was as much of a
I don't think it was intentional. Neither of the interferences were intentional, but the resulting plays, the Jared stopped on third, even though he knocked the girl down. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what the rule is for that. Shouldn't he have been given home? And then the guy who ran into Rick between second and third went back to second. He didn't get third. And I'm wondering if the rule, if I'm confused.
The one that ran into Rick was Garen, and he was actually out.
He was out.
Because we talked about it, and he was clearly going to be out at third.
He got the ball to me at third base before the interference happened.
But so we kind of talked out on the field. Garen, basically, he's a good guy. He admitted that he was going to be out.
Okay.
The rule can be sketchy because if you're making a play on the ball, you had the right of way. Mm-hmm. And if you go by that, the ball was kicked in between third and second. Mm-hmm. So every person that's on the infield.
Actually, it was first and second.
First
it was
and second.
Coming to third.
Okay. Well, the ball was coming in that direction. Rick was backing up.
Third.
So.
Okay.
Rick's an old baseball player, so he backs up every throw.
Okay.
And he didn't see that person. That way, I think, would have been one that could have been called either way.
Right.
But good shout-out to Garen. He basically called himself out because he's like, I was going to be out no matter what.
Going back to that good guy rule.
If I may say, is that as far as that rule, the rule book states that if there's no play, you know, to be made by that fielder, then, you know, doesn't matter the intent or how fast or how slow that you are, you have to make the conscious decision to get out of the base path of that runner, according to the actual letter of the rule book. Now, they went with the spirit of it because they were saying that, well, he would have been out anyways because when the play was made, he would have been out. I will say that, however, you know, who's to say that the throw from, I think it was to you, pitcher to the third, to third, who's to say that the possibility that you could have, like, throw the ball away, either overthrew it or got it past the third base. You did make the throw, but who's to say that, you know, well, it would have been out anyways, but even so.
The other
play
was the one I was more concerned about, was Jared running
trying
to round third,
Jill
got really knocked down hard.
I think we're on the same page there.
I think that,
But my question is, what is the base path defined as? Because, I mean, a lot of people banana around the actual base. They don't run, you know, from A to B. So if the shortstop is a little bit behind what is considered the base path, and the runner runs into them.
What I say is that with the actual line between second and third, the actual line, the actual base path is like two steps, you know, front and back. That's considered the base path. So that's what it is. Because what it can do is a base runner can deviate from his or her base path, you know, up to two steps. You know, away from the actual imaginary line base pads between second and third.
I think there's still a little give there because when someone's rounding second, they don't stop and run straight towards the base. They overrun it just a little bit.
They overrun it
to third.
Yeah.
Garen was stopped on second, running to third. He wasn't rounding. Jared was rounding. He was trying to get a triple, and Garen was just trying to get from second to third. Yeah. He was stopped on second. So his base path was a lot more straight.
Right.
And that's why he ran into Rick.
Right, the Rick, yeah.
Right.
As far as the ruling, you know, Jared running into Jill, I think the ruling should have been says, like, that since she interfered, that Jared would be given home.
The Troy would have had the same play a couple innings earlier. He was running from second to third, not rounding, and he ran into the third base person.
Well, I ended up going home on that too. But
and you ran into somebody, but you made the score anyways.
I will say that those calls have to be made by the third base.
I'm fast.
I hate to throw people under the bus, but you know, I was on first base. It was not my call, but those that went close to it, you know, is a third base umpire, and you know that's your responsibility. You got to look, you know, within your area, see if there's an interference in any of those plays.
I just wanted to get that cleared up.
Well, I think the refs. Sure. Another thing to look at is point at the game of the week again that we did leave it up to like good person calls. Mm-hmm. We let the refs kind of decide on the spot. We didn't really argue. The captains kind of went aside, and we did everything. We talked through it. So, I mean, it's a lot of those calls you can – if the umpires all agree upon it and there's it's a sketchy kind of thing, it goes off of that.
Yeah. Real quick about the interference between Rick and Andy Guerin, I do take a little bit of responsibility for not watching the runner, the play there, because I was focusing more on your throw to third instead of seeing, you know, the possible interference, because I did have a decent point of view had I looked – that way instead of focusing on Choi throwing it from pitcher to third base for the force out.
It just seems like there's more vagaries involved with this interference rule than there were in the series finale of Lost.
Oh, no. Oh.
Which is a good segue.
Oh.
We have, for once, it is not I with the beef of the week.
No.
But Aaron and most of the rest of the league with the beef of the week, specifically regarding two teams and the series finale of Lost that was on Sunday night.
I don't know if all of our fellow kickballers even know what happened, but if you look at the schedule, there is a 0-0 game, and that is between...
Well, it's just blank.
Asteroid Head and Liberty Hall did not play.
Yeah.
They did not go to the game of the week as well as some other people I know from certain teams because they wanted to watch the series finale of Lost.
Yes.
Live.
The average person would think they could just Devo it, TVR, or do what I do, pull out a cassette and watch it.
A 2.5-hour cassette for this baby.
But so they could sit around and get on Twitter or tweeting or whatever and talk about it live because it's more important than kickball.
Yes. The funny thing is they abandoned a real-life social activity so that they could participate in a virtual social media activity.
The most confusing TV show ever made of all time. I've never watched a second of it, but
And for those who didn't watch it, spoiler alert, his wife did it.
Good. Ooh, okay. It wasn't a dream like in Dallas.
His wife did it in an autistic boy's dream.
I was gonna say, was it like the snow globe in the autistic boy's dream?
His wife did it in an autistic boy's dream.
JR was never dead the whole time. It was just a dream.
As the colonel, it was
Patrick Duffy's character.
As the colonel departed from the MASH camp in a helicopter.
Yeah.
They all.
And then it cut to black while Journey was playing.
And Colonel rode off on.
Okay. And
Hawkeye flew off on the helicopter as BJ drove off on his motorcycle.
Well, yeah, well, that was MASH. I'm talking about Lost.
And Gilligan and the Skipper made off with Marianne. It's true.
Yeah. They are both shows that are ridiculous that take place in tropical settings. So they do have that much in common.
They made MASH a radio out of coconuts. And...
So okay, come on, Asteroid Head and Liberty Hall. Really?
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 I talked to someone from Liberty Hall. He contends it was Astro Head that wanted to postpone it so that they could watch the Lost finale. And Liberty Hall said, fine, we'll agree to it. We'll postpone it until Thursday. This is what he said from Liberty Hall.
And we'll
it.
All go home and tweet.
Yeah, we'll go home. Exactly.
They're the twits of the league.
When their game is, so we can all go watch it.
And the only way anybody knew that they weren't playing was through Foursquare updates.
Yes. I am at home on my couch.
I'm the mayor of my couch!
The biggest problem I have with it is that Liberty Hall, they're not the ones watching in the TV show. It was the art people. The Asteroid Head art people that are supposed to be all artsy.
Yeah, since when does an art collective have television?
Right?
And is this not their first... game too.
It's the first game ever.
First game ever, guys. Asteroid Head, what is your deal? You're my
start up on the.
Well, okay. Playing devil's advocate. Playing devil's advocate. Playing devil's advocate. It's your guys' fault for scheduling kickball during the Lost finale.
Oh, excuse us. Oh,
that's why they made TiVo. Period.
Hey, Twitter, don't stop for no man.
You can check.
You cannot pause and rewind Twitter.
You can Foursquare on your couch
later.
You cannot
fast forward through commercials on Twitter.
Can't you?
Okay.
Shame on you, Asteroid Head and Liberty Hall.
It's terrible.
You get this week's bifurcated beef.
Indeed. Two-headed
frog. Not getting into that this week. Yeah. But were there any other notable games, any other notable happenings
I can help with that.
Throughout the rest of the day's game?
It's the first time we got their last week's games, though, further along than the first one, but that's fine. Eldritch, they defeated Slow Ride by a score of 13-7. Aaron, you were on Slow Ride.
Yeah.
Go.
Well, the game started out with Slow Ride ahead. It was 2-0, and then Eldritch had like 7 runs in the third or fourth inning. And randomly, in like the fourth or fifth inning, our refs left, and we got new refs.
And whose refs would that be?
PETA Pit, two refs were there for the beginning of the game.
The first two innings?
They were there before the game started.
Okay.
And they refed the first few innings, and then they decided to switch out with the Eastsiders, and they refed the last 4 or 5 innings of the game.
Hmm.
So we only had a ref at first and home. We never had a ref at third for the entire time. And we actually had an issue with one of the rules that was talked about at the captain's meeting, where if the ball gets popped over a fence and it's a ground rule, double rule and all that, and none of the people who were the refs were at the meeting and knew what was going on.
Right.
So it was kind of a big deal. We ended up losing 13-7. We didn't expect to win, but the ref switching out on us was kind of weird.
And it just goes to show, it's like the way the refs are is that it's on the captain to be responsible to make sure that the refs provided representing each team for the following game or the preceding game had to know the rules well enough and will make a concerted effort to do a good job. So I will say this, every team has to do it, and everyone has to provide at least 2 refs each. And they trusting through the captain saying that you guys be refing, and I trust that you will do a good job. So, I will say this, we'll call them out. For PETA Pit and for Eastsiders, these guys have been in the league for multiple years.
Yeah.
So they know the whole dog and pony show.
Well,
so they should know better.
For anyone who's not reffed before or this is their first year, where could you find the rules?
The rules are on the clipboard.
On the clipboard.
They're on the clipboard.
And online, where would you find
them?
Online,
you can just go to the CavalleyKickball.com, and there is a section with all the rules. You can print it out and read them all, and they're really pretty straightforward.
To paraphrase Alec Baldwin from Glengarry Glen Ross, ABR, always be reffing.
Nice. Very nice. But yeah, that was kind of weird.
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you right now, everyone in the league, just please provide refs that would do a good job. The captains, y'all know better, and you know what? Just get on top of that.
Yeah.
So
another really fun game to watch was West Coast Saloon versus Tellers, mostly because of the warm-up for that game. West Coast has a guy who's a third-grade teacher as their captain, and he was suited up in baseball gear and leading his team in arm drill warm-ups and, like, jumping jack warm-ups and...
Do you know who it was? Because I used to be on...
He's a third-grade teacher from some grade school here in town, and it was just hilarious to watch.
Haven't they not always worn baseball outfits? Like, I've always... All right, they can put a target on my back. I've always thought West Coast Saloon was lost and thought they were actually in a softball league, but they're really not.
Or you thought they were lost and that they're very confusing.
The warm-ups, the outfits,
primetime drama on ABC.
Asking about financial statements, everything.
Yeah. This is their third year in the league, so I mean,
I just don't trust people that are stretching for the game and not drinking. Yeah. The game
wasn't actually inciting; it was
they're
the
drinking.
My suspicion: they're Scientologists.
Oh no!
I have nothing to back that up.
It's a good guess.
I have an autographed L. Ron Hubbard painting from the early '80s. If any of you guys want to make a bid,
is it L. Ron Hubbard?
Really?
Yes.
L. Ron Hubbard.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, he's down.
From one of his first books, actually. It's a drawing my parents found at an auction. A couple of them.
Really? Wow. I'll bet Tom Cruise would take that off of your hands for a pretty penny.
He'd probably say that's before he was found.
Should we just barrel through like the rest of the scores?
I'll go to the other scores here real quick. PETA Pit, 27-2 over Eastsiders. A convincing win. I know Eastsiders, they lost some players and then went to other teams. But the back-to-back defending champions just putting a statement out there saying, this tile is ours. And even I asked Mike from Peter Pitt. They said they didn't play that well. They played pretty lazily, and they just went through the motions. I mean,
21 game win streak though.
20. That's more than that. I think. Yeah.
It's at least 21.
21. Yeah. So, but it's definitely a statement saying that, you know, it's their tiles to lose. So.
What bet would you take, that Peter Pitt loses first, or that? Misfortunes wins their game.
You know what? I was thinking about it. I know this is kind of dear to Chris's heart because he was on a Pirates squad 3 years ago.
That's so, right.
Yeah.
Played for them for 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years. Really, 4 years?
Really?
Yeah. Wow, how about that? So,
Were you a mustache?
I had an eye patch, a tear for my homies, and I had a mustache very similar to yours.
Yeah. I do remember that, yeah. I remember this is his last.
So why did you jump ship, so to speak?
I couldn't commit during a summer because I was gone for work, and then when I came back, they had changed the team, and I worked at Jazz House for a couple of years, so I went back.
Talk
to
about
them.
The summer of 2007. You didn't 2008. You didn't play. Right?
2006.
That you didn't play.
You didn't play. So you played with Jazz House last year, which was 2009.
That's right.
Year before you did not. 2008.
That's right. 2008.
2008. It is 2008. Yeah.
It is. That's
it
right.
Is 2008. Yep. So.
So the Golden Cardinals actually had quite the range of experience within KVKO.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Top and bottom.
And I'm going to say it right now.
Which do you prefer?
Pitching or catching?
Third base.
Anyway, more scores.
Third base.
More scores.
More scores there is Los Luchadores.
They're the new team. How'd they do?
Pretty convincing win, 12-1 over the Screamers.
Did we ever determine or decide who they are?
Yeah.
Or is that the Felt Show people? That's the Felt Show people.
Exactly.
Okay, got it.
I feel it's weird because I said, you know, last week I said that the Screamers would beat Luchadores. I have no idea who the heck is on the Luchadores, and I said the Screamers my dark horse team to make some noise throughout the season and the tournament. And boy, was I wrong.
Wrong.
I have a bad feeling that Streamers have
a dark horse got turned into dog meat.
That's
indeed.
And my people would know about dog meat. Yum, yum. Yep, yep.
Oh,
that's sad.
That's why we keep you around.
That's
but you say the horrible racist things that we can't.
I know, so. But so that's a shocker there.
Does it cost to bury a horse?
I watch the History Channel. I've seen the story of the Donner Party.
Oh, no.
And one more game is Murder Tang versus Todd Tractor.
Murder Tang.
Well, those were Milton's last year. They're the losers bracket.
Todd Tractor's the other new team. How'd Todd Tractor do?
They actually did pretty well. Even though they lost 17-13, they actually were competitive.
And who are they?
I heard that they are a team that plays in the City League for kickball. And a bunch of college kids.
Okay.
As you said. And basically, I thought it would be like a new team. They were basically bludgeoning, saying, welcome to the league. That's the christening. But they basically basically wouldn't have it. And
held their own.
So
welcome to the league, Todd Tractor.
And they're like, thank you. And we will make ourselves comfortable.
Don't take the beef personally, Todd Tractor.
Now, your other beef, Mad Greek.
Took out Chris with low
self-esteem pretty handily. So they're...
They'll get theirs.
22-8, outside that game.
The Love Garden Brewballers game was the first game played at South Park, and it looks like it was...
And it was a couple years?
For a year or so. Yeah. And Love Garden beat Brewballers by 9, and I heard that they didn't enjoy playing there, mostly because the Brewballers drink a lot, and they felt nervous drinking that close to the police station.
I also heard that they had a bachelor party the night before.
Again? Why do they always do that?
People are getting married. I don't know.
It's always safer to drink close to the police station.
just right under their noses. They would never think to look. Always hide out in the open.
And I heard that it was like really close for the first 5-6 innings. It was like 2-2 or something like that.
I heard it was like all the way to the 7th or something before Love Garden scored.
You're right.
Have we heard back? Was South Park laid to waste? Was the grass salted?
Someone went through and mowed the grass down really short before they played, is what I heard. That the grass was just not what they were hoping for.
Really?
It was just too short?
Too short.
Oh, dear.
But did
Caw Valley Kickball leave it worse than when they found it?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, if they're doing like dog frisbee shows and little league football and you know blues festivals in the middle, soccer, frisbee. Other people are using this grass. It's not our fault.
Yeah, no, but. I don't know about you. I hate to call it. I was like, I don't even know why we were going back to South Park because that field always gets chewed up.
The public clamored for it.
It's my favorite field.
It's your favorite field?
By far.
It gets chewed up. It gets chewed up throughout the season.
Grass fields over dirt. South Park holds a place in my heart.
Is there grass fields out there?
Yes. There's two. Two other ones?
Two other ones?
Water Tower. Edgewood.
Edgewood, yeah.
And maybe if we have to, we can play at Woodlawn. But and then there's also, if we play at YSI, there will be soccer and rugby fields that we could potentially use. But other than that, for a weekly basis use, South Park, Edgewood, and Water Tower. And Water Tower is way tore up.
Is it way tore up?
It's terrible.
At least we're not using Hillcrest no more. Hillcrest was awful.
Yeah, there's swamp in the outfield.
Swamp in the outfield. So much undulations.
I prefer to think of that as a water hazard.
Well, it still goes back to this is... I know we're expanding or whatever, but this originally was a downtown summer league for us people that were living in Lawrence that weren't just here for the 8 months to collect mom and dad's checks and everything.
And I prefer South Park. I really love playing there. It's a block from my house.
And now all the people that started that league who are collecting mom and dad's checks are now collecting unemployment checks.
Yes, it is true.
Thanks, Uncle Sam.
Woo! Someone's got to take it.
More scores.
Those are all these scores that are up known. I mean, a close game there, replay over Astro Kitty, 6-1. I mean, that's the only close score that's up known.
Actually, I'd like to say real quick.
Yes, sir.
Did Astro Kitty lose?
Astro Kitty did lose.
Okay, so they're the one in that 6-1 against replay. I would like to say really quick, I don't have a beef this week. I, in fact, have an anti-beef. For Astro Kitty for actually showing up and playing even though the series finale of Lost was on.
Yeah.
Because Astro Kitty is comprised of nothing but nerds. Yeah. And I know for a fact that they are huge. They're huge Lost fans. They could have very well blown off that game, but they did not. They sucked it up. They pressed record on their damn DVR. I don't know if all of them, but there's enough for a team to show up, obviously. Okay.
Well, did anyone see if they had a TV in their dugout?
That would have been hilarious. They did play at South Park.
Is Jackie Becker playing this season? And if so, do you know what team she's playing for?
She's Sacred Sword.
She's
got to
be Sacred Sword.
Because I know that she's a huge Lost fan, too. And if she showed up and played, hats off to her. But I don't know for sure.
Game would have been a 5:30 game, so she could have finished her kickball game, which she won if she played.
Okay.
And she could have made it to watch it on time. Sacred Sword destroyed Weavers 26-8.
Weavers didn't even have to show up.
A lot of these games were complete blowouts, so there's really no point in talking about them. Yellow Sub beat the poop out of Free State, and it's because Free State was busy drinking bottled beer.
That's the other big news of this weekend. Sorry, digression. But, yes, the Free State bottles are now available, and I think that that probably did have an impact on Kaw Valley Kickball because many, many people were enjoying these new Free State bottles. The Free State beer is now available in six packs at liquor stores in the region, and I drank many, many, many.
Is it really?
Do the bottles save 5 cents if returned to Kansas?
I haven't checked.
I probably won't have a Free State bottled beer till they put the cyclist in a bottle.
Maybe they have a suggestion box.
What is it, the Wheaton lemonade? Yeah. It's yummy.
What about a recycling bin for all the bottles there now? Going to dirty up for all those nice Lawrence people that always care about the environment?
Well, I don't think there's a bottles for the community yet.
Yes. Actually, Republicans and conservatives should actually endorse this. There is a private recycling company in town. Free market speaks. There we go.
There you go. So, I know that. So.
There's a private one in town?
Yeah. Yeah. If you make an arrangement, they will come. If you leave it out, they provide
like
bins.
$30 a month things or something.
Like $30 a year.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. So it's actually a pretty good deal.
Wow.
There's the free recycling drop-offs behind every grade school, and they get $25 a ton for all recycling. The only thing they don't take is glass.
No.
The only thing.
The one thing that people need to recycle.
Yeah, no glass. So, yeah.
What am I going to shoot off my back porch then?
We should, I suppose, preview not next week's games because there are no games next week because of the Memorial Day weekend.
Memorial Day weekend.
Do we already have the week after scheduled?
We have all the we have
which
the
we shouldn't preview because we're going to save that for next week.
Right, but exactly.
We have the game scheduled for the next 4 weeks because we don't know where we're playing yet. I'm not talking about it.
Yeah, I concur.
Yes.
In fact, we've been prattling on for about 40 minutes, so we might as well wrap it up now.
Sure.
Want to thank, as always, Aaron's ooing.
We have to really get together and collect cans, collect your bottles, throw away your trash, pick up your cigarette butts. I spent 10 minutes after the game of the week picking up people's cans and trash and bottles. Take them to the game. Have a good time. But be a little considerate of the people who have to wander around and clean up your mess.
Put your cigarette butts in your pocket.
Put them in your empty beer bottle.
Yeah. Put them in your empty beer box. Throw them in your cooler. Take them away from there because we get so much grief for not cleaning up our own mess.
Oh, I got one last question here. Sorry, I got to ask two representatives from Jazz House. After the first week there, how far are you guys along as far as being like legit contenders to take down Pita Pit as the KVKL champions?
We're going
to
win.
Oh, is that right? Is that a guarantee? Is that a promise? Is that a threat? What is it, Chris?
Pita Pit's still the champ, but if they even themselves remember back to last year's game, if they didn't have three errors in one game, the Jazz House would have shut them out.
All right. Well, on that bold, confident note, we really should end things.
Alrighty.
I want to thank, as always, Aaron Airbear Adams and Jason Cougar Huang, and our special guest this week, representing the Jazz House, Chris Golden Cardinal. I don't like Golden as your name. I'm going to go Cardinal Richelieu. Well, maybe we could do a historical Cardinal.
It came
from
the Pirates. The Golden came from the Pirates team, and I just stuck with it for the
Jazz House. Let's call you a Red Breast.
Oh, right.
Red Breast. And Troy, the Pomeranian Pomeroy, thanks for returning for this very special episode, Ballin' Idols 2010, Week 2, Lawrence.com's Cobb Valley Kickball Podcast. Oh, yeah, I'm Gavin. Bye-bye.